chapter 23. Thank you, Brother Caleb, for the good preaching tonight. Appreciate the good service this morning. Privileged to hear Brother Dale Owens and Chris Kitchens, and thankful for the good day today. 2 Samuel 23, I'm going to start reading verse number 8. Verse number 8. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adno the Azurite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the good day you've given us today. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the warm feeling in my heart to be saved and to be among these people, God. And thank you for this good camp meeting and the people that represent it. I thank you, Lord, for the multitude of times that you've met with us here in this place. Lord, help us to be grateful for our salvation and the opportunity to serve you. I need your help now, and I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on a man that will stand and be a man. And as I give that title, I almost want to just, back up a little bit and try to bring some comfort to you that my purpose, a lot of times, I try to make it my purpose every time that I preach to God's people, or maybe specifically to the men or to the ladies. I never want to take a text and approach it with a purpose of thrashing or lashing out at God's people. I think if there's ever been a day that we need to be exhorted, it's in a day such as we live today. And that is my purpose tonight. I think that we have a goodly heritage. And I'm thankful that I know the salvation that Brother Caleb just preached to us about. I'm glad. You've heard my testimony many times, but I got thrown a curve by the devil, and I got involved and was deceived in this new modern way of reading amen. And I could still be lost today and deceived, but I'm thankful for the workings of God in my life, that He wrought salvation in me, and I'm glad for that tonight. I appreciate not only my salvation, but I'm thankful for the deep, horrible conviction that He put me under. I've never forgot when He saved me. But I think a lot of that has to do with the conviction that He put me under. And I'm thankful for that. And I appreciate being in this way. Now, you and I are living in a time
where we already say it and we preach it a lot, that it is a biblical time. It's a time referred to in 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. It's a time that Paul was writing about and said before this man of sin appears and before the day of Christ comes, there was going to be a great falling away. And I believe that we're in that day today. I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet. I think it's like a snowball that started downhill and it's getting bigger and it's going faster. And there are things that I'm witnessing and you're witnessing in this day that if you'd have told me 43 years ago when I got saved that I'd live to see this day, I wouldn't have believed it. And men of God are turning away, and God's people are turning away, and churches are turning a different direction. And it just almost makes you physically sick to constantly hear about it. And so I got to studying about this man by the name of Shammah. I kind of like this fella. And the Bible says he's the son of Agi, the Hararite, which simply means that he was from the mountain country. And I like these mountain men in the Bible. And this Shammah's got a lot of gut and grit. And I like to read about men like that. I need a lot of inspiration. And I struggle, and I get a little, I call it whiny tail attitude about me a lot of times. We had some problems this past summer, and I've had in 31 years of being at the church where I'm at, I've had about 6 men that have rose up, and I've had to just deal with the situation. It's been situations that I've seen come, and I'm not trying to make you laugh, but sometimes it's just you know, before you go mashing on a pimple, you need to wait till it comes to a head. And sometimes you gotta wait till something comes to a head. And so it came to a head, and I had to deal with it. And so I kind of went home, and I was a little whiny tail, and I told my wife, I said, it's time for me to retire from pastor. I'm tired of this. Every time we get one foot in front of the other, here we go again. And it's the whole church. And I said, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired in my heart, and I just can't deal with it. And I thought she'd really come up to me and kind of put her arms around me and say, baby, you just are really just a wore out soldier. But she just kind of walked off and said, we're too poor for you to retire, so just stay in there. And so I want to be a good soldier. You know, when you get to reading about some of these Old Testament patriarchs, they didn't have what you and I have today. You know, we're really a spoiled breed in this day. All I've ever known is the Southeast here, the Bible preaching and meetings and churches everywhere and good preachers and camp meetings. And we've been exposed to that our whole life. That's all we've ever known. And we've got all this technology. My mama was raised, she knows what mountain poverty is. My dad was raised up in Virginia, in a little town called Dry Virginia, and he knew what real poverty was. But my brother and I never knew that. We've always had plenty to eat and clothes to wear, and I've had schooling. You can't tell that, but I've been through school, and the Lord has blessed my wife and I. We don't live in a mansion, but we've got a nice house. And I thank the Lord for it. We've got vehicles. And if I want to go to a camp meeting or a meeting somewhere, it's really cost us a lot of time and go one night. But in the Bible days, and in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They didn't have that. You find a lot of men like Brother Noah. He stood for God in the days when nobody else was standing for God. And he stood alone. He didn't have a CD to listen to. He didn't have a camp meeting to go to. He couldn't talk to another preacher. He was alone in his day in a world of wickedness. You read about Brother Elijah. He went under a juniper tree thinking that he was the only one living for God. It was day. And I'm glad Elijah didn't stay under there. I'm glad the Lord went and nurtured him and brought him out of there. He was to be the mentor for Elisha in his day. And you go through the Bible and just read about these great men of God. And the Bible tells us about this man by the name of Shammah. In these few verses I've read to you, these are men that have done extraordinary demonstrations of power and grit and determination in their life. And I'm being real with you tonight. I realize we're coming to an hour where I need to know how to tap into God and learn possibly how to stand alone. I talk to Brother Shaver every once in a while, and I'll say, "Preacher, please quit trying to talk yourself into heaven all the time. I need you men. I need you men." But in the last several years, we watched some of the choice of God's men and God's people graduate and go on to glory. And I can't begrudge them about that. You and I can't just fold up in a corner and say, "Well, churches are folding up and men of God are dying off the scene. What are we going to do? Let's go of all of it and ram our head in a hole and just forget about it." But God didn't leave us here for a time as this to be a bunch of quitters. And so in this text here, he talks about these men with this extraordinary power. It mentions in Judges 3 and 31 a man by the name of Shamgar. He slayed 600 men with an ox goad. And the Bible says in Judges 15 and verse 15 that Samson slayed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. And so in this hour, it just seems like all it takes is a strong will of our wives and we want to fold up. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you ladies tonight. But we men are failing in our churches. I just want to say this, and please, all I know to tap in on is my family and my experiences. So I'm not trying to be boastful tonight. Anything I am, if there's any good in me, it's all the grace of God. But God has blessed my wife and I with 3 good kids. I mean, they're all adults now. My wife and my daughter have got more guts and grit than 75% of the preachers today. That's right. That's right. My sons are not preachers. But I tell you, I'm going to tell you, they're worth of any preacher giving his arm to have me. Oh, that doesn't come across good. It sounds like I'm being boastful. But my younger son doesn't come to our church. But I had his pastor and his wife stand in front of me and my wife on a few different occasions, and he said it to me many times. And I thank God for Michael. He stood with me, and he's backed me, and he's been an asset in our church. And right now they don't have a pastor, and he's trying to stand his ground because there's a crowd that wants to turn the church another direction. On the pulpit committee, and he's trying to stand fast, and he said, "Dad, we met the other night and prayed," and he said, "Some of them are talking about some men I don't approve of," and he said, "I listened nicely for a while, but he said all of a sudden I took myself about 10 or 15 minutes, and when I come to myself." He said, I just had told them, y'all have got your kids raised, but I got 3 baby girls that need to meet a God that'll stand and preach a word of God to them." Amen. And there's multitudes of pastors. You know why pastors get so discouraged? They don't have any men in their church. They don't have any men. They want to come in and just sit down and clip their fingernails and burp and scratch their nose and look around and get up and yawn and talk about their tree stands and their deer hunts and college football and they go out the door and kind of yawn a little bit and shake the preacher's hand and they're not even focused in on the house of God. So we need some men that will stand. What does it require? I'm not being silly tonight, but it requires a person. It requires a man that will raise his hand before God and say, "I will go. I will do it. If you need somebody, Lord," the Bible says in verse number 12, when it's talking about Samuel, it says, "But he stood." He, in reference to a personal pronoun. It didn't say, "but they stood." It says, "but he stood." Everybody else left. But he stood. He stood. It takes somebody that will stand and be a man. Samuel was that man. David came to Saul. And when Israel had fled, And David came to Saul. He was just a ruddy fella. And the Bible says that he volunteered. He volunteered to go and fight Goliath. And the Bible says in verse number 32 of 1 Samuel 17, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about Goliath, "thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go and fight against the Philistine, to go against the Philistine and fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." But David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." I used to read that and think, well, David's kind of given his qualifications. He said, "I've kind of had these elementary qualifications, being a shepherd boy. I've killed a lion and a bear." And I got to thinking about that one day. And I got to thinking that'd be a pretty good fight. In fact, I'm just wondering if maybe that is not a more advanced fight than Goliath. I mean, you're talking about a lion and a bear and a little shepherd boy because he's got some guts and grit and says, "You're not taking one of my lambs." And he takes on a lion. And God sees that. He sees that this purpose of shepherding needs to be nurtured. And when David steps up and says, "This is one of my people. This is one of mine. This is mine. And I'm going to stand up and try to protect them." I want to say to you, there's no place for quitting here. There's no place. It's going to get worse and worse evil men shall wax worse and worse. They're going to keep coming in and keep coming in and keep coming in. And we can't get weary and we can't get tired. And he says, I went after him and smote him. He says, thy servant slew both of them. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Here's a young ruddy fellow that had some confidence. He volunteered to go. The Bible tells us how the Lord is seeking for a man. And it's in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. It requires a person who's going to stand, who's going to be a man, who's going to get in there. I'm all the time begging for the man, and I need some help a lot of times with my preaching. I said I need some encouragement. Say amen once in a while, and when I get on to them, they'll say amen. But it's the next sentence. They're all just looking at me like I'm retarded or something. And stone face. Sometimes you just, and I'm not talking about forcing things humanly, but I'm talking about recognizing spiritual things. I'm talking about when a pastor has to deal with issues. Sometimes that can be one of the most fearful things, because a pastor doesn't know how the people are going to respond. Are they going to leave? Are they going to walk out? It would be good to have some men that'll say, preacher, stay right there and preach that. Our church needs that. Amen. That's right. And encourage the man of God. That's right. It has to be a personal thing. It requires a person. It requires, and the Bible tells us here in our text, it tells us about that power. It says in verse number 10, it says, and after him was Shammah, and it talks about it, and it says, I'm coming down through here, he stood in the midst, verse number 12, of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And here's what it says. And the Lord wrought a great victory. But it was Shammah that stood. But it was the Lord that wrought the great victory. And I want to say to you, we need some men that know something about God. The Lord filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about my salvation now. I believe in the filling of the Holy Ghost. And so it happened in my life about 3 months after I got saved. I've told about it many times, but it was up on the side of a mountain. And I never read any books about old timers. I didn't know anything about that. I just had a pull in my heart to get along with God. And I got up there laying back on that car, on that windshield, up on top of a mountain. And I got to just worshiping God. I got to crying. And I said, Lord, I can't believe it. And just magnifying Him. And Lord, it just feels so good. And it's good to lay down at night and know things are set up between me and you. And it kind of moved in my heart to pray. And so I got off the car and made an altar out of that back bumper. And I just began to give out and give out and say, Lord, I don't want to hold back on nothing. I wasn't a preacher then. I asked Him that night to make me a preacher. And He didn't call me to preach that night. But I wanted everything about me to go out. I wanted everything about Him to come in. And He moved in on me that night. And He flooded me and filled me. And I worshiped God. And God dark up there on the side of that mountain. I don't know what time it was. It was sometime in the middle of the night. He filled me. We need some Spirit-filled men. I'm not holding myself as an example. I'm just saying some men that know how to be a carpenter, but be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Some men that know how to guide their families need to know follow God. I believe we have men here that do their best to, as preachers, to to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. Thank God for that. Did you know that is supposed to be for everybody? Sure it is. You men, guide your families. You need to follow the leadership of God. I can't believe for a minute talking to you about those movies that your wife has brought in for those children to watch. Is he not talking to you? Are you not going to follow him? Do you have to get permission from your wife about what comes in or goes out in the house? I'm not frailing you, ladies. I'm just saying this is what we need. Because the church has fallen and the pulpit has fallen, it's because our homes have fallen. We need some spirit-filled ladies. If you could possibly put down your phone for 5 minutes and go pray. Get alone with God. Amen. Have you forgot you've got 2 kids or 3 kids that you need to be raising? They don't need a mom that's gossiping and full of fashion. They need a Holy Ghost-filled mama that knows how to pray. And it's different from the routine we've got in our churches today. We need somebody to pull up and say, God, you've been good to us. I'm just not going to ram my head down in a hole and just let this whole thing slide off to the left field somewhere. Amen? It requires power, somebody that will stand and be strong. He says to watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit like men. Be strong, he says. I'm not ramming you or lashing you. I'm trying to exhort you tonight. Trying to say, hey, the old way is the right way. You all know that. How many of you believe that tonight? Sure it's right. Well, it's worth defending, isn't it? Sure it is. It's worth defending. It's worth fighting for. We need some men that will stand and be strong in character. Be strong in their character. Be a man. Work hard. Pay your bills. Amen. Amen. Your wife. And be there for your kids. And take them fishing. And teach them how to throw a ball. And spend time with your home. And have prayer together as a family. And read the Word of God. And be thankful for your little country church. And your old man of God that's preaching right. And lift them up to your family. Learn how to clean things out at home. I'm not telling you to be harsh and ugly and mean to your wife and children. But I think a spirit-filled man can come in and sit down with tears in his eyes and say, this is going to disappoint you all. Read my Bible and listen to our man of God preach. And I've been alone with God. And there's got to be some house cleaning going on around here. And we're going to adjust some things. We're going to stop all this ramrodding and running and going and shopping and buying and we're staggering in the house of God and we're not even hooked up with what worship is or what the, and we're going to slow down. We're cutting out all this mess and we're going to pull together. We're going to have some quiet time as a family. We're putting all this equipment up and shutting her down and we're going to sing together. We're going to read together and we're going to take some family walks and have some picnics. We're going to pull back to a heritage that the old time family used to be. We need some men that will stand and be strong in their appearance. I'm rather disappointed that I hear about some of these young preachers that want to wear their skinny pants and have a homosexual hairstyle. That's right. I can't have them in my pulpit to preach because I'm against that. That's the influence of homosexuals. And that can't come into the ministry. That can't be represented. I don't care if they're 25 years old. They need a good spanking. That's right. And that falls back. They were raised. Amen. Men don't wear jewelry. Men and women don't put jewelry in their snout. That's right. You can do that to a pig. You can put a ring in his nose. But you're not, unless you are a pig, don't be putting rings in your nose. We need to have some men that'll have some character. I had a family visit my church, and it was a divorce and remarriage situation. It happened before the man or woman got saved. And to be honest with you, they visited and I liked the family. I felt like that they were saved, and I could feel, you know, I felt a connection with them, and so I liked them. They had children from her previous marriage, and then some children from his marriage, and then they had had a child. So I was out visiting a lady in the church that lived in the area where they lived, and so I think to myself, I'm going to go by and see them. And so I did, and they lived kind of down a long dirt trail down through the woods, and it kind of comes back up, and their house is the only house back there. And when I got back there, I saw some things that I liked. The kids weren't inside with control things on, but they were all outside. It was a hot summer day, and they'd been running water down the front grass of the front yard and just running and just flipping and sliding down that hill, and they had rope swings and little tree forts, and I thought, you know, I like this. This is kind of the appearance of an old time family, but they were all in shorts, and I didn't get out and attack that. I tried not to even look at it. I've seen that before. I wore them when I was a kid, so I know what it looks like. I didn't get. I was there to be kind and. And so then the man came out, got on some long shorts, and I just started talking small talk. I said, we appreciate y'all visiting. We'd like to have you come back someday. They were looking for church, and he said, he immediately, I didn't start anything. He immediately, he just said, well, we, a few times we visited, we noticed that the morals of your church seem to be at a higher standard than what we've been used to. And I said, well, I'm thankful for that. Our ladies, you know, wear dresses when they come to the house of God. And I wish I could say they all wore them all the time, but they don't. And so he brought it up. I didn't bring it up. He got to talk. He said, well, I've been studying and reading a lot on that. And he said, you know, I really don't see anything wrong. And he pointed to his shorts. He said he was bringing out all. We were standing out there, it was hot, and I could feel sweat going down my back and coming down the front of my head. And he was standing there, and I was looking at him. And he was sweating, and finally I said, could we step over underneath this shade tree? And he kept on about readings and studies and on he went. And finally I said, friend, can I interrupt you just a minute? I said, all that studying, all that reading you're doing, I said, I don't know about all that, but I said, I want to ask you a question. Why are you doing all this studying to get to wear a pair of shorts? And he said, what do you mean? I said, you're telling me all this research you've done so that you can wear a pair of shorts. Why are you doing that? He said, well, why not? I said, why don't you do a bunch of research on why you can wear some long breeches? He said, well, I never thought about that. And you know, that's the way people think today. You have all these people. We need some men that will know what has handed down to us by generations and just stand for that. And take that. You know, when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to know was about my mother's godly heritage. I wanted to learn about it so I could reap from that and take and carry it on somewhat. I don't do everything like my mom and daddy did. I tried to improve on it. I don't think we ought to be subtracting. I think we ought to be adding too. Man. It requires Samuel had a purpose to stand. I'm reading this story. The Bible said he had a piece of ground. I don't know how big it is, but let's say it's a half acre. It's just got lentils in it. Well, lentils just kind of makes a pulse, kind of like a stew or something. It's a bean. And I'm thinking, you know, here comes the Philistines. And they attack to take this little piece of land that's full of lentils. This time. That's the way the enemy of the world always does. They wait for God's people to work things up harvest time, and then they want to come and reap the harvest. They want to take away from us what is rightfully ours. And so all the people, but one man said, "You're not taking my piece of ground." Do you know why he said that? Because it was his heritage. It was his heritage. It was handed to him. It was handed to him from those that were before him. His father gave him that piece of ground. He planted those lentils. He worked the ground. And then when everybody left, he stood. And the Bible says he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines all by himself. There is a purpose. How many of you have children or nephews or nieces that have never been saved? Sure we do. There is a purpose. We have a purpose of this salvation. I believe I could bear witness with what Caleb was preaching. I got saved that way. And they're trying to change the way of salvation. They're trying to make a different way. I think it's worth defending. I think it's worth defending and standing for and being able to speak up. I'm not talking about being belligerent, but I mean just for what's right. Say to your sister, "Honey, you and your husband are going to a fine time, man of God, like our pastor. Come to our church. Come to where we're going." Well, she'll get all up in the... Well, let her get up in the air about it. But you need to stand. They need to know what the truth is. We know all of this modern... And churches, a lot of our old-time Baptist church shifting to the left. I don't know the right answers on everything, but I've tried to make it simple to myself. I'd rather turn the steering wheel too hard to the right than to lean a little bit to the left. Once you ease to the left a little bit, you'll start seeing things and hearing things that's going to make you go to the left a little more and a little more and a little more. If you're traveling up a mountain pass and you're walking by yourself and it's a narrow way, hug the side of the mountain. Don't try to get too close. Possibly to see how close you can live. I love sports. I love hunting, fishing. I'm not against football. But in my day, sports was about character building. You had to play sports in my day. Body pins and tattoos and play football when I was a kid. You couldn't be a fornicator and be a school dropout and play ball. But now, you know, I don't really care about watching any of it or hearing about it. Because they're all just a bunch of fornicators. They're a bunch of tattooed up, long-haired heathens out there. That's right. I'd rather pour my praise into the house of God in the old-time way. So we need somebody that'll have a... Daniel said, "You may have taken me away captive, but you can't change my heart." Purpose in his heart. "I will not defile myself with the king's meat or the king's wine. You purposed in your heart. Some of you love compassionately. You need to make some purposes to be a godly lady. You need to settle in your heart. I'm preaching to maybe some pastors' wives here. Your husband is backed in a corner about what he can preach because he knows what you will go with and what you won't. Am I being honest? Sure, that's right. So do you feel gloating about that? Really want to know you're wondering, hey, I wouldn't want to hinder a man of God. I wouldn't want to hinder a man of God. I'd want to be a church member that my pastor could be proud of. Daniel was a man that purposed in his heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were not their Hebrew names. The world tried to change their identity. The world tried to make them bow down. And the pressure's getting stronger and stronger and stronger for us to bow down. I'm saying, don't you give in. Stand for truth and right. When Jesus Christ, how distinctly does He save somebody? Well, how distinctly, what did He do for that maniac of Gadara? He was full of the devil and naked and screaming and controlled by the devil. And Jesus came and cast some demons out and saved his soul and put the clothes on him. And he was sitting down with the peace of God and wanted to go with him everywhere he went. He does that for everybody that He saves. Hang with us. Always stand for the character of old time, Holy Ghost, powerful conversion. Amen. They said, we're not going to bow. They signed the decree that nobody else could make any other petitions to any other god. Daniel found out about it. And he went over and slung the shutters back. Said, I pray at a certain time every day. And I keep on praying. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're constantly pulling and trying to pull us down. And I want to say something to you. I'm trying to exhort you to be a man. I guess I do. I get kind of whiny tail. And I think I told Brother Milby today in the lunch line, I said, I hope you live to be 120, preacher. I need you to hang around. I wish things could change for Billy Mitchell. I wish he could come back. I wish he could get in the pulpit again. But Brother Massey, he may be going to glory. I don't know. You know, I can't stick my thumb in my mouth and crawl up in the corner and say, it looks like everybody's going home. They deserve to have that graduation. They've run well. They filled in the gap. Now the baton is handed to us as men and preachers and ladies and young people to stand for what's right. To represent the glory of God and have the old time way. Brother Hedrick back there travels around a lot and going out west to be a missionary. And he gets discouraged about all these churches he goes into. They're all leaning to this liberal way of getting all these professions. And a lot of these ministries are sending out letters of 300 and 400 saved in 1 month. I don't believe that. I'm not that stupid. That is something man-made going. I don't think it's beyond God to do that. But this world, you go down to Walmart and get up on the back of a pickup truck and take your text and start preaching in the Holy Ghost, you're not going to draw a crowd. They're going to call the police on you. We're living in a day when they don't want to hear it. And we need to stand strong. And we need to represent well. We've had a company that has gone on before us. And they're handing this to us. And I want to bump up a notch. I want to tighten the knots in my belt. I want to pray more. I want to walk with God in these days. What if in the next 12 months you hear of one preacher a month represented in this meeting that has turned south? And then the next month another one. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to change? You going to turn south? Well, don't do that. Each one of us have got a responsibility that we've got to answer to God for. And when I stand before Him, there's only a few words that I would love to hear from Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And I just want to kneel His feet and say, Lord, I started saying this a long time ago, but I want to thank You for coming my way. We've got a wonderful grace that God has handed us. Don't trash it. Don't get laid back with it. Some of you men, and I'd like to be the first one in the altar tonight. But some of you men, you need to ram your head in this altar and get a hold of God about your failed responsibility. Say, Lord, I want to stand in the gap. I don't want to curl up. I don't want my church to die. I want to be strong. Keep preaching. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Just keep on preaching.
Yes, sir.
You preach truth in your church, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You preach against sin.
Yeah, hate it. Hate sin.
Well, I want to be, and I'll tell you what. You ought to come and latch hold to Him and say, I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm going to back you, and I'm going to support you, and I'm going to stand with you, whatever you decide. I'm going to be there beside you.